You may ask me where I'm headed. You may ask me where I'm bound. Well, I'm going to a country across the sea. And I know I'll have a mansion. And I know I'll have a crown. Well, I'm bound for the kingdom of the free. Yes, I'm bound for the kingdom of the blessed and the free. And my Jesus soon is coming after me. There is nothing to compare with the glory over there. Yes, I'm bound for the kingdom of the free. Well, I'm going to a country where they say we'll never die. 'Twill be endless joy and glory there for me. Yes, I know I'll live forever in that city in the sky. Well, I'm bound for the kingdom of the free. Yes, I'm bound for the kingdom of the blessed and the free. And my Jesus soon is coming after me. There is nothing to compare with the glory over there. Yes, I'm bound for the kingdom of the free. Yes, I'm bound for the kingdom of the blessed and the free. And my Jesus soon is coming after me. There is nothing to compare with the glory over there. Yes, I'm bound for the kingdom of the free.
Bound for the kingdom of the free. We appreciate Brother Gerald leading us in our singing this evening. Did a fine job. We appreciate likewise our scripture lesson read by Brother Larry Reese. And we appreciate the prayer that was led by Brother Gary Davis. It's good to be here this evening. And it's good to see each of you here this evening as well, as we shall continue and conclude our worship service on this Lord's Day. We do invite you to turn in your Bibles to the passage of Scripture that was read just a few moments ago. Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 through 16. Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 through 16. Ruth is one of my favorite Bible characters. Ruth possessed many of the qualities that we as God's children, we as New Testament Christians, we as followers of Christ need to possess, if we can, or if we could be characterized by those qualities that Ruth exhibited so clearly in her life, we would be much better Christians. We would be better people overall. Ruth was a responsible person. Ruth was a reliable person. Ruth was unyielding in her determination. Ruth possessed a great understanding of life and love and commitment, and a great understanding likewise of Jehovah God, the creator of heaven and earth and the sea and the entire universe and all that is in them. Ruth was not only responsible and reliable, she was unyielding, understanding, but she was likewise tenacious. She was trusting. She was helpful. She was humble. She was also hopeful. Are those some good qualities that we can weave into the fabric of the character of our lives to help us be better people of God? And we're going to look at some other things relative to who Ruth was and what Ruth stood for, what Ruth believed, and what Ruth was committed to doing. Turn again to Ruth chapter 1. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. You see, in the land of Moab, Ruth had lost her husband. Ruth had lost the love of her life. Naomi also had lost her husband. Orpha had also lost her husband. Naomi and her daughters-in-law had all three suffered the loss of their spouses. Naomi had suffered the loss of two sons, and she had suffered the loss of her husband and the father of her children. Very stressful. She said, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. She said, I hope you can find another husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. That seemed to have been a close relationship between Naomi and her daughters-in-law. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. They were committed to her. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, it grieveth me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth stuck to her. That is, she clave to her like glue. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. She's talking to Ruth. And Ruth said, here in verse number 16, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Verse 17 says, where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Notice verse number 18. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded or determined to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. The commitment of Ruth is admirable, and it is commendable and worthy of emulation. To commit is to bind or involve oneself as with an oath, a pledge, or a promise. And commitment actually means a pledge or a promise. Ruth's statement of her commitment to go with Naomi to Israel is a classic. It is one of the literary gems of all times. It has been set to music and is sometimes sung at weddings to show the couple's commitment to each other in marriage. The statement actually takes in two verses, but we want to focus primarily on verse number 16. We want to first of all consider Ruth's plea. She said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. Naomi had encouraged Ruth to stay in Moab, to go back home to her mama. But Ruth is adamant about going to Israel, going to Bethlehem, and she earnestly pleads with Naomi to stop tempting her to stay in Moab. It is the language that says an emphatic no to temptation and tells temptation to be gone. Any worthy commitment to God needs this kind of attitude about temptation. We need to all have the ability and the resolve to say a firm and committed no to temptation. Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, Jesus had the presence of mind and the power to say a firm no to the devil's temptations. Jesus utilized the word of God to resist successfully the devil. And you say, that was Jesus. That was the Son of God. Sure, it was Jesus. But we have access to the same word that Jesus had access to. And we can internalize that word, and we can marshal that word to the front of our hearts and minds when we are faced with temptation, and God will enable us to also say a firm no to temptation. When we consider Ruth's path, she said, whither thou goest, I will go. Wherever you go, I'm willing to go with you. Be it a rough path or a smooth path, Ruth is committed to going with Naomi. You know, some folks decide to change paths when things get tough, but not Ruth. Ruth was committed to going with Naomi. And an acceptable commitment to God requires steadfastness regardless of the difficulties of the path. You know, we used to sing the song, we don't sing it much anymore, I'll go with him all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. If Naomi could commit herself to going with Ruth and following after Ruth, how much more can we commit ourselves to going with Jesus and following after Jesus? We must be willing to be led out of our comfort zones. Follow Jesus in service. Follow Jesus in sacrifice. Follow Jesus in suffering. Follow Jesus in reaching out to those who are lost in sin. Follow Jesus in reaching out to the losers, to the lonely, to the lacking, to the left out, and to the lost. Jesus said in Luke 19 and verse 10, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. We also consider the place where Ruth was willing to be led to. She said, where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Like the path, Ruth did not say she would only go to the place that was nice and commodious and convenient. It will be a poor commitment if we follow only when the place is comfortable and convenient. Jesus let it be known to would-be followers, if you're going to follow me, it's going to be challenging. If you're going to follow me, it's not going to be easy. If you're going to follow me, it's going to be tough. A lot of times I think, and we've said it before, we can convey a false impression to would-be followers of Jesus or prospects of the gospel message. We can give them the indication or give them the notion or the idea that once you become a Christian, once you obey the gospel, everything is going to be fine. All of your problems and all of your troubles will be over. The Lord is going to rain down rich blessings upon you. So come on and obey the gospel. Let us go ahead and get you in the pool and get you in that water. Everything is going to be fine, but we mislead people when we give them the impression that all of their difficulties, all of their trials, all of their troubles, all of their tribulations come to a close or come to an end once they become Christians. Amen. Sometimes it gets worse. It gets tougher. Back years ago, folks used to sing after a person was baptized, I'm so glad, done got over at last. Satan is mad and I am glad, done got over at last. He missed the soul he thought he had, but done got over at last. Yeah, he is upset to lose a subject, and he's going to fight tooth and nails to gain him back. And too often he succeeds in his efforts. Jesus in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20 said to would-be followers, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The Lord didn't own a house. The Lord didn't own a boat. The Lord didn't own a donkey. The Lord didn't own a chariot. He didn't own a condominium. He didn't own or rent an apartment. So he said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to be willing to live under some challenging and austere conditions. Preachers used to say years ago that rather than compromise the preaching of the gospel, they would make this statement metaphorically, say, I will sleep in a hollow log and drink muddy water before I compromise the gospel message. We got the point. They were saying that nothing was going to cause them to give up preaching the truth of the gospel. I don't think that ever actually materialized. I don't know of any preachers who made that claim actually had to make good on that claim. Because you'd have to have a pretty big hollow log to accommodate some preachers. And I don't take kindly to drinking muddy water. You know, I like some clean, clear, fresh water. I like my water to be filtered water if I'm going to drink it. I like my water to be purified water. But Jesus is saying, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. That requires steadfast commitment. And then she was concerned about the people she would be around. Notice she said, thy people shall be my people. Ruth wanted to be described as a member of Naomi's family, although she no longer had Naomi's son. She wanted to be a member of the family. She knew the requirement was to go to Israel and live with Naomi. If you want to be described as a Christian, you will need to be associated with Christians. Some individuals want to be called Christians, but do not want to separate from the world. We need to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. We need to identify with the people of God, associate with the people of God, if we intend to be Christians, if we intend to be faithful. In James chapter 2, as indicated in our lesson this morning in Bible class, James mentions the notable faith of Rahab the harlot, who protected the spies that were sent to Jericho by Joshua. Now, why am I mentioning Sister Rahab in connection with Sister Ruth? The reason is these two women were included in the genealogy of Jesus. And that fascinates me, that God could use a prostitute and put her in the genealogical line of Jesus. God could use a Moabitess and bring her into the line of the genealogy of Jesus. Now, I figure that if God could mightily and significantly use Rahab the harlot and use Ruth in his almighty plan for our salvation. Don't you think God can use you? Don't you think God can use me? Just think of these two women. Ruth, one of the notable ones as well. And then consider her piety. She said, "Thy God shall be my God." This is the most important part of her commitment. Ruth was making a break from idolatry of Moab to follow the true God of Israel, the true God of the universe, God who made the world and all things in it. Nothing is so important in life as our relationship with God. Let us seek to have the kind of commitment that was exhibited by Ruth. Let us endeavor to follow her illustrious example. We remind you, and Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." How committed are you? How committed am I to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God, our Heavenly Father? How much can he rely on me to be faithful and committed to him? If you are lacking in the proper commitment, why not recommit your life to the Lord this evening through repentance, confession, and prayer as we together stand?